Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I spent 2 hours on Sunday trying to figure out why all of Twitter was making jokes about canned beans.
Why, yes, I did have a Benadryl cocktail on New Year's Eve. Thank you very much.
It sounds very nice. When people put furniture out on the street right before it starts raining, I don't really understand that.
Me neither. At what point does a cool van turn into a creepy Buffalo Bill help me push a sofa into the back van? This gal wants to know.
Hopefully never. Have such a good day. Whether it's raining or sunny or snowy or, I don't know, icy where you are, welcome to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just that.
If climate change is real, Sarah, and this is our little podcast, and it's aptly named just for you, where we yak about all the things and try
all
to crack
things.
A smile. And sometimes it's hard, but, you know, we make a valiant effort.
Yeah, it's not really a show about climate change, but
no, it's, hey, not.
It's all around us.
But we may talk about it because pretty much the show subject matter runs the gamut.
Heather, it's raining here in Northern California.
Oh, it's
and this is a
here
thing
too.
That happens in the winter, and I know it. And I know people who live in more rainy climates throughout the year laugh and say, it's raining, like, are you dying? And no, I'm not, but... You just forget in California.
You
just forget. You know it's going to rain. I got my galoshes. All's well. But when it does, I'm like, everything's just harder.
It is
my
harder.
My dog doesn't want to go to the bathroom because he doesn't like the rain. Some dogs, I guess, do, but I didn't get lucky in that regard. No, I don't want to poop in the rain either.
You know, I love my galoshes. I've got like the kind of tall ones, but they aren't that easy to walk in. And then they're rubber, so my feet get kind of hot. So I have to bring an extra pair of shoes to change into when I get to the office because I don't want to wear them all day because it's just like they're not that comfortable. So then you have to bring another pair of shoes. So I'm carrying all this stuff and I'm getting wet going from like my car to my office. Man, this morning, I mean, Sarah, it was so dark. It was 7:15. And it was pitch black out. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I know people like in Scandinavia experience that, but it's just, it's not my jam.
So Scandinavia, lots of places, you know.
Finland,
in northern
know.
Or southern hemispheres, depending on the time of year. I've got galoshes too. I've got some nice hunter ones.
Me too.
And I got them last year. I'd never had galoshes before since I was like a kid, you know, splashing around in puddles for fun.
Yeah.
And when I moved to the country last year and like, they're just like... isn't good drainage. There's puddles everywhere. It's muddy. And I was like,
it's a whole different scene.
Yeah. I need some galoshes. And I mean, it was a total game changer because otherwise I'd get done from not even a long walk. And I'm like, my feet are soaked. My shoes are soaked. It's just gross.
Let's just talk about this for a second because I'm feeling very passionate about this right now because, you know, I love shoes. You know this about me, Sarah. And I love, nice shoes and fun shoes. And I'm used to living in the city. And yeah, I had a stint in Paris and New York, and it does snow there, mostly New York. But, you know, you do get the slush and the mud and all that stuff on the city streets. However, in the country, boy, is it another level. I mean, we have gravel driveways that need to be re-graveled because it's been raining so much that there's so much mud now. I can't even wear, I mean, it's like, I have to wear galoshes or like work boots now. And I feel like I miss my other shoes. Just even some of my sneakers I miss because everything just gets so muddy and dirty. There's leaves on the bottom and then bring them in the house. I mean, it is like, it's a real different experience living in the country for so many reasons.
I'm with you. And like, it's funny, this morning there's this, where I live, there's this big driveway, big, you know, not gravel, but like concrete. Mm-hmm. And it's on like a slight incline and there's a drain, you know, in a corner and the whole thing, you know, once it rains, you know, everything's supposed to drain and it works fine, but it gets clogged by like leaves and like mm-hmm. we have redwood trees and the pine needles are falling and everything. And so this morning I look outside, I'm like, how hard is it raining? And I'm like, oh man, big old puddle. I have to say it's very satisfying to like be in my galoshes where I'm like, feet aren't getting wet.
Oh,
no,
it's
wonderful. I'm just wading in this mud and pool type thing and then kind of like take all the leaves out and then I see the drain working. You know, it's like there's some SMR.
ASMR, totally. Yeah. No, I have that too for sure. And yeah, there's some, the galoshes thing. I mean, maybe that's why you have such vivid memories of wearing them as a kid because, you know, that's it was really like an experience. So how's your week been, Sarah? I mean, we've been chatting a bit. We're up to speed, but
we're in 2021, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
I know, right? I wrote a check because one of the folks who helps
you wrote
with housemate. Yeah, I know. One of the folks around here who helps with house maintenance through the Airbnb, she just isn't a PayPal person or a Venmo person or whatever. She just wants a physical check. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. Well, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And she was here yesterday and I wrote a check and I was like, 21? Oh, wow. It felt really weird. I know what year it is, but it still felt weird to write it out.
Oh, it always does.
It always does.
It's funny you bring up checks. I've been... I learned a little something from my dad, kind of working with him on the business. Do you know that you could write, instead of saying like 500, like writing it out, you can do 500, like, and if it's like thousand, you can go 5,327. I had no idea you could do that, but you can.
No, I didn't either. I mean,
it's
I don't know how many characters you're saving, but it's kind of cool that the bank is like, yeah, we know what you mean. I mean, sure. That's a fun little life hack. If you're like,
it is
my
a good
hand
life
hurts
hack, actually.
Today and I want...
Well, when it gets like to be big numbers, you don't have a lot of room. So if you're doing like, you know, 5,100, you know, it's like it becomes kind of problematic. Yeah. Anyway, see, I told you, you're going to learn such a myriad of things on this show today. We've already covered climate change,
checks,
life hacks. Yeah. Weather patterns,
right?
Galoshes.
The idea of writing out numbers in a way that works for transactions.
So tell me about your New Year's Eve. I would like to know what you did.
Oh God. I was asleep by like 9:30.
Yes.
This was by design. I didn't have plans. Where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. My mom and I had spent a really nice Christmas Eve and Christmas morning together. And she's not like, I mean, what are we going to do? Like party? Like, no, we're neither of us care about that sort of thing.
No.
And there was a family living, staying at the Airbnb at the time. They had booked, you know, a long time before. They were very nice. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of asked me for little things here and there throughout their just under a week that they were here. And on New Year's Eve, a little bit earlier in the day, I had had to go do something and, you know, I came back and as I come back, I'm like, they're definitely grilling like red meat or something. You know, I just kind of smelled food and what's fine. That's, you know, part of the deal. And I got a text from the woman who was, you know, kind of the person that I had been interfacing with. And I think she felt sorry for me somehow, like, poor Sarah, like, clearly lives alone above the garage with her dog.
Aww.
And she texted me and said, hey, I know, you know, we're social distancing, but we're making burgers and like, I don't know what else they were making. She kind of listed off this like fun, like, you know, we're like making a cool meal. Do you want us to put a plate out on the porch for you? And I happened to have had like leftovers from, I don't know, whenever I had cooked last. Mm-hmm. And so I said, thank you very much. I'm good. And also, like, do I seem like this poor woman who should be fed And I mean, I think she probably would have like invited me in, but you know, everybody's got their pod these days and you know, that's not happening. But I appreciated it. And at the same time, I was like, just leave me alone.
Leave
me
like
alone to be the little goblin lady that I am. You know, watching whatever.
It's like, do you remember the story of the old woman who lived in her shoe? Like, it's like that.
Well, she had a lot of children, so she wasn't alone, Heather.
That's true. Oh, I love this story. This really brings me joy. Thank you.
But yeah, so New Year's Eve was super uneventful. I remember looking at the clock and being like, it's 9:30. Like, I'm tired. Like, do I even like attempt to stay up? Yeah, I've done this in years past. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood, even when like there were like parties that you could go to or mm-hmm. places that you could go to. And I just sort of tucked myself in and watched a little TV for a while, or a movie, or I don't know, whatever mm-hmm. I was watching, and then went to bed. And so nothing really happened. And in the morning when I woke up, you know, I don't think any of us were, besides sort of joking, like 2020, once it's over, like, you know, that was a shit year.
Yeah, everything's going to like, you know, be
no,
better.
Yeah, like nothing was going to magically be different. But there always is this feeling that I have in January. And I really don't get the winter blues as much as other people do. Mm-hmm. But the first couple of weeks of January in particular are not my favorite.
I feel the same way. I'm exactly the same. I get like that tension before Christmas. Like December can be kind of tough too, but there is something darker about January. I don't know. It's like,
well, because it's still sort of cold, you know, or rainy or snowy or whatever. I mean, again, if you live in Australia, it's summer, so you know, kudos to you.
Let's move to Australia.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or Argentina or something.
Sure,
but
let's do it.
But yeah, it was kind of. There's always this, I don't even want to call it a letdown, but it's just, it's sort of like, yeah, we got a while till daylight savings starts again, and, you know, it's winter for a while, mm-hmm. and I don't have, I mean, besides, you know, friends' birthdays, and I guess you got President's Day and MLK Day in early February, but mm-hmm. you kind of go like, it's a bit of a slog for a while.
Oh, it is, for sure.
Until the leaves start coming out again, and so I tried to just sort of ride through that. And I mean, yeah. we're still in the first days of January. So, I mean, we have ways to go.
Good
but
luck.
Yeah, but I kind of was like, all right, yeah, you know, life didn't magically change. And there's a bunch of political stuff that's going on that mm-hmm. gives me great anxiety mm-hmm. and all sorts of other things. So it's kind of the same BS as yeah. it was just a few short weeks ago. And I knew that. But at the same time, I'm, you know, trying to stay as optimistic as possible, drinking a lot of tea, which actually is a wonderful thing about winter because
it is.
I love tea and I prefer hot tea. I don't really drink cold mm-mm. beverages unless it's like LaCroix or something.
Yeah, me neither.
So I don't really like cold tea. It's just not my thing. And in the summer, it's like, I can't drink tea all day. I'm sweating. So that's the one thing that I'm like, I got my coffee in the morning and then I can drink hot beverages throughout the day and night.
I'm
you know,
the
it doesn't
same.
Have to be caffeinated. And that's kind of, it's one of the little things I'm leaning into.
You know, it's all about the little things right now. I'm a big rooibos fan. I believe you are too.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about it on a past show. It's
yeah.
it's great and non-caffeinated and it's got that earthy taste.
And I like that it's not fruity. I don't like fruity tea, honestly. I would rather go kind of minty on the minty side or the earthy side than like the fruity. I'd like to get a little kettle for my office because then I could have hot water at you know,
I do like one of the little electric things.
Exactly.
Those are
it's on my list, Sarah, my long ass to-do list.
Oh, and, God.
Chopping
yeah,
list.
Tell me about it. Mm. So how has your week been?
Well, gosh, there's a lot going on, but it's been okay. You know, I've been busy. I'm doing a lot of my dad's business these days. It's a lot of stuff that just needs to happen and I need to figure out and it's been interesting. It's definitely, he's really set up an interesting empire up here and it's kind of cool to see what he's done. And so I've been doing that. My head's been down working in his office and it's funny. Me and my boyfriend, you know, we're kind of LA people. We like culture and tacos and sort of like city culture. And so it's just been really kind of fun to experience living in the country, being the way we are. And just, we laugh about things a lot, you know, about how our lives have changed. And the mix of people up here is interesting. I mean, you have weirdos everywhere. Like, for sure, there's tons of weirdos in Los Angeles and every big city in the world, obviously. But like, when you're in a smaller place, sometimes those weirdos like stand out a little bit more. And especially now, because things feel kind of apocalyptic and there's more homeless and all this stuff. But it's an interesting mix up here of like, kind of, there's some sophistication, there's a big artist community. There's a university, so there's professors, there's doctors, and you know, there's like, there are some a lot of civilized, interesting people. But there's also the creepy van people. And so
you talk about creepy vans a lot. Like, how many creepy vans are we talking about here?
Well, it's not that many, but it's a fun game because there's this one section off the freeway near where I live where there's like usually at least one creepy van parked. And I find the creepy van thing really interesting because you go, okay, was it always a creepy van? Did it start out as a creepy van with a creepy person in it?
I mean, it was new once.
It was new once. Was it, what did it used to be, a soccer mom van or like a surfer van or
I don't know, just like a normal van. For work?
Yeah, a work van. Yeah. When did it turn into a creepy van? Is like, where along that that spectrum did it get creepy? So we play this game called Creepy Van. How many creepy vans can you count in a day? And it's pretty fun. I never really get past maybe 10, but it's a fun game because
that's a lot, kind of.
It is kind of a lot. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of Sprinter vans right now. A lot of those Mercedes Sprinter vans, I think a lot of people have bought those this year because they're going on road trips. And I see a lot of out of state license plates up here. A lot of people want to come to Northern California and see the Redwoods and get out of their house and with COVID and everything. So this area has been actually pretty crowded and discovered, which is really interesting because it's usually really kind of sleepy. Sprinter vans, whatever. I wouldn't consider those creepy. There is a very distinct van. You can't just call any van creepy. It has to have certain distinguishing characteristics. So it is a fun game. Sarah will play it sometime and you'll see.
Okay. There is it's funny that you mention the, you know, what makes a van creepy, and there's, you know, this certain area where you see them more than others. Where I live, which is also, you know, it's pretty rural, a lot of trucks, a lot of vans, a lot of, you know, semis even around here. Just, I don't know, they're taking things from
lots
one place
to
another.
Lots of work trucks and
stuff. A lot of that. And it's a little jarring at first. I'm so used to it now. And like, I have an SUV myself. I'm like, sometimes I see like little sports cars and I'm like, really?
I know, I feel the same way.
Do you enjoy like driving across these pothole streets like this? But there is this little area. If I'm on a walk, like there are several different ways I can turn when I leave my house, but there's one area that like you pass a few houses and then it's just kind of like you're under the trees for a while until you get to any more like residential houses.
Yeah.
And not for like miles and miles, but like it's a stretch. And because of that, people dump vehicles on this area because like no one's around. Like, so no one's going to be like pissed that you're in front of their house. Are you sleeping in the car? Hard to say. The first time I saw a car, I was like, kind of weird that it's parked here. I mean, you're not associated with like someone's driveway. And as like the month went on, like people were stealing parts out of the car. The car started to like disintegrate, you know, like first the engine went and then some seats went. I'm like, how's that happening? And then it kind of went away. It got towed or something eventually. And over the last, I'd say, 6 months, it has happened with several other vehicles. Most recently, a creepy van, you know, with like the weird curtains and like a bunch of junk on the passenger seat where you're like, I can't tell if someone's in there or
the
not, but I'm not.
Make it creepy for sure.
Yeah. Like, and you don't really want to walk by it at night, even though this is like one of the routes that I walk with my dog, you know, and, you know, the van disappeared recently. So nothing's on that little stretch of road anymore, but it is, who's next?
I know, it's really funny you talk about cars. I mean, we're so on the same page. Like this morning, so I had to drop my car off at the dealership to get an oil change. So my boyfriend picked me up and, you know, he was the lucky guy who basically got the big work truck from my dad's business. And I'm talking, it's not like a pickup or like a Toyota medium-sized truck. It is like one of those wide bed, heavy duty diesel,
like F-250.
Yeah, it's gnarly. Yeah. And it's so funny. You know, he always has crap in the, not just in the bed, but like inside the back seat, and there's like tarps and, you know, oil cans and just like, and I get in there this morning, I'm not joking, the whole way in, I'm like, okay, I get whiffs of oil and gas, mildew from the tarps. I'm like, BO, like, I'm just, this is a work truck. This is a dude truck. Get me the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. Man, it's interesting. You know, I really am grateful though. It's cool to shake it up and do something different. You know, the fact that we really experience city culture and now we're like totally going like, whoa, this is such a different alternate universe in the country, but it's cool. Like, life is short. Why not like do something different?
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned sort of like the city weirdos. Yeah. Every city has weirdos. Yeah. I mean, weirdos are just, you know, part of Earth. But the country weirdos, and I've got a lot around here. I mean, I don't know all my neighbors, but I know most of them at this point. Whether I not, I know them, like, I don't know like them like we're best friends or anything. Mm-hmm. But certain neighbors I know quite well because we just see each other. We're on kind of the same cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy down the street and he's always walking his Sheltie kind of around the time that I'm walking Otis. And, you know, I've kind of gotten to know him. Mm-hmm. But like, we're not going to like invite each other over for dinner necessarily. But it's sort of, you kind of start looking out for each other type of thing.
Of course.
And then there's some riffraff. And it doesn't really, I've always liked that. Not that I'm like, oh, I want to be surrounded by like criminals or anything, but I've always sort of liked a little edge, especially in a city.
Yeah.
Not, again, don't want anybody to get hurt or, you know, like, you know, I'm not like, woo, homelessness, so fun. Like, not at all. But there's something about a little edge that I've always felt like makes me slightly more alive. And around here, it's like, I mean, it's not really my kind of edge.
No, it's more you like, know, like Venice Beach edge is what you like.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, with certain exceptions. But, well, I mean, honestly, so the Venice Beach vibe, which is for anybody not familiar, it's in LA, it's, you know, beach town. And a lot of just kind of like, it's sort of celebrated for the crazies.
Yeah.
It's also warm and sunny and... And you can kind of live in shorts all year long. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, yeah, like people selling candles on the strip. And just, it's very, it is what it is. But it was also pretty edgy. Mm-hmm. And up here, it's more of like, the edginess is, this is always happening at night, by the way, when I, because I have to walk my dog. Like, even if it gets dark, like, we got to do it. You know, it's people selling drugs out of a car, you know, and they kind of like look at me and go like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like,
it's not
how's it going
edge. It's kind of like creepier edge.
Well, it's just
sketchier, I don't know. I guess
it's, well, it's just different. And you know, I grew up in this neighborhood, so it's not super new to me. And again, I'm like, whatever, like I'm not freaking out, you know. I'm not like posting on Nextdoor every time I see like a strange unmarked van with curtains.
See, there's a lot of fodder with the creepy van conversation, I'm telling
you. Yeah, it is. Creepy vans happen in Venice, too.
Oh,
lots
yeah.
of them.
Oh, 100%.
Fact.
And they probably used to be like surfer vans turned creepy.
Well, some of them are creepy surfer vans.
That's true. This is very true.
Where you're like, I'm pretty sure you've been living in this for 30 years, and that's cool.
And there's something about a soccer mom van that's pretty creepy, too, but like on another level. But, you know, it's funny. My hometown, I used to love that, like, my hometown is very affluent and nice and storybook, Los Gatos, California. But I remember in high school, I always wanted that edge. I always wanted to move to the city, but I loved that they were the Hell's Angels. There's a lot of Hell's Angels, motorcycle dudes that settled there. There was like a biker bar called the Cats. And I remember when they would drive through town, I'd be like, yes, I love it. I love that there was that. I think it's the contrast. It's like hard when everything's homogenized and the same. And I like having like the juxtaposition of like the nice stuff, like the pretty streets, but then like you've got a little element of like, you know, culture, I guess, is part of it.
You know, in Los Gatos, because I'm not from there, but my parents are. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time there. And once I was old enough to go to bars, I always wanted to go to the Black Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because as a kid, you're like, ooh, it's like really dark in there. And there's always kind of a Hell's Angel type bouncer outside. And at one point, I don't even remember, like, I don't even know what year this was, but I was young enough to want to go to like a crowded weird bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I there was a guy outside and I'm just like, I don't know, making conversation with him or whatever as mm-hmm. he's checking my ID. And I was like, oh yeah, my parents are from here. And he was like, what year did they graduate high school? And I told him and he's like, yeah, they're older than me. And I was like, but I have like lots of aunts and uncles that are younger than them. And we find, like, he was like, he knew my aunt because he went to Los Gatos High with her.
It's kind of a small community.
He's like, that's your aunt? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, she lives in Switzerland now.
That is so funny. I wonder if it's even open still, because you're starting to really see some of these classic places go under. I guess the 101 Cafe, that Hollywood famous cafe right off the 101, closed. It's very sad. They shot a lot of movies in there, and it's pretty sad.
Well, you know, hopefully a lot of the places that I know, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Hopefully there, you know, there's a lot of like new growth that will emerge from this.
Everything
one
has
can
to
only
evolve.
Hope. Yeah, I mean, some of the places that close just won't come back because it's like they're family run businesses mm-hmm. and they're gonna do something else now. And you know, maybe it's hard enough to run like a retailer or food establishment anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's sort of the point I was trying to make earlier about 2021. It's like, listen, I have all the optimism in the world that by kind of like June of this year, we're really going to have turned a bit of a corner mm-hmm. on a lot of this stuff. But I don't know that for a fact. And it's not happening in the next few months.
Nope. And you just have to live in the moment right now. It's like you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's like a kind of a tough place to be. Some days I'm good with it. Like I'm brave and I'm in the moment. And I'm like, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But then I have other days where I'm like, I have a lot of anxiety. And,
yep.
You know, it's.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah. So we got. Yeah. We got anxiety, we got creepy vans, we have rain.
And
so,
we chuckled a little. So, yeah.
What I have done a lot, which is not too different than the last, you know, almost year of my life, but, you know, just kind of hunkered down, trying to embrace the fact that I'm somewhat isolated. You know, when I'm in the house, I'm, you know, cooking dinner, making my tea, watching my shows. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things have stood out to me lately. The first is a show, it's a Netflix series called Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. Heather, are you familiar?
I've heard about it. Isn't it like a crime drama or like a murder thing?
No. It's not at all. It's more of like, so I never watched Gossip Girl, but people compare it to Gossip Girl, except that it's set in like, you know, 1800 aristocratic London.
Oh, I'll probably like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very young adult.
Okay.
In the sense of like, I think it's a series, well, I know that it is a series of books, mm-hmm. Which I wasn't familiar with because I don't, you know, read stuff like that all that often. But I started it and I was like, you know, somebody had like posted on Twitter like, oh, this is really good. So I started watching it and I'm like, it's very young adult racy, you know, where like there's a lot of kind of like implied sex mm-hmm. going on. And there's also, you know, interpersonal relationships and, you know, families who are trying to, you know, get their daughters married off to the best, you know, suitor possible type mm-hmm. thing. And there's costumes and great hairstyles and all that stuff. And I started it and I was like, I feel like I'm like almost like too old for this. You know, it's like, I never watched the Twilight stuff mm-hmm. because I was like, I'm just too old for this. Mm-hmm. But I like the Harry Potter stuff, which you could argue is, you know, the same.
You should watch,
you
know, Twilight. It's yeah. fun. It's
We'll see. I'll get there eventually, mm-hmm. maybe, maybe not. But anyway, I got hooked on Bridgerton to the point where I was like, yeah, I'm going to finish this. And I mean, there are like some moments in the show, again, it's Netflix, so they can get away with certain things that maybe you wouldn't, you know, on like a CW or whatever, where it probably would live if it was on TV. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm like, this is kind of like, ooh, I'm blushing a little bit, you know?
There's, like it's there's more some, HBO style.
It's like there's not a lot of nudity.
Or Showtime,
but
even.
There's a lot of sex.
Oh, interesting.
And that's not like the whole point of the show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some sort of like whodunit type thing. But no, it's not a murder mystery. It's just like good, well, it's not good, clean fun. It's like good, just like, I don't know, bingey fun.
Like borderline soapy.
Very soapy.
Yeah,
yes.
I get addicted to stuff
there's
like that
a
sometimes.
Lot, yeah, there's a lot going on there. So I really enjoyed that. I finished the season. I think it's 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be. I don't know if it's being renewed. I probably will because it's gotten a lot of attention, but it's good. It was good.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Good stuff. Yeah, I think if you're feeling light, you know, put on a little Bridgerton.
Yeah, that's I need it.
That's yeah, right. When you're feeling dark, you know, yeah. And you want to see some, like, you know, London folks with petticoats having sex.
I love it.
And that's your show. Another so that's a series, but a movie that I just watched, it was just last night, is Palm Springs.
I know what this is. Yeah.
And it was so good.
You know, it's getting Oscar buzz, which I was really surprised to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't,
it's kind of weird. I'm like, I wouldn't
sure
expect
I
that.
I'm not sure I would call it an Oscar.
No, not at all. That's
movie.
Why I was surprised to see that. Because I thought it was but just a very Netflix kind of like look on your phone while you're kind of sort of watching it with one eye.
Oh, it was really good. So it's Andy Samberg, who I love.
Yeah, me too.
SNL alum, Brooklyn Nine-Nine guy.
And I love the girl
hilarious.
In it too.
Yeah, and I'm less familiar with her.
She's How I Met Your Mother, and she was in like
She's in a some Black Mirror.
She was in a Black
that people
Mirror.
Liked
that's
a lot.
Really good.
I think some Doctor Who stuff.
Yep.
She's been around, but
she's
she was sort of super cute, new to me. And there, you know, obviously other actors in the movie, but it is one of those movies where somebody had said, and this is like every once in a while, I'm like, I just don't know what to watch. I'm just like done with all my stuff, mm-hmm. you know, or I don't want to watch Real Housewives right now. I want to just watch something different. And I tend to go TV show because my attention span is short.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I want 30 minutes of something. Mm-hmm. I don't want like 2+ hours of something.
Yeah.
So I often shy away from movies unless I really have the time or I know that I'm not going to be on my computer, like not paying attention, mm-hmm. you know, because like, it's more fun to start a movie and like dim the lights and like you're watching the movie.
Totally.
But I have a hard time doing that these days because there's just other stuff to do.
Yeah.
So somebody on Twitter, I don't even remember who. Yeah, exactly. Had said like, Palm Springs was such a delight. And I'm like, never heard of it, but I like Palm Springs, you know, like, and I found it. And as I started watching it, I was like, oh, this is funny. It's like a rom-com, but it's like very weird.
Mm.
And there's a whole kind of existential twist, and I won't get into it because I won't spoil it for anybody, but I loved it, and I like laughed hard by myself, which
I'll
don't do
it.
Very often yeah. stuff. Yeah,
oh, that's
like
great.
Maybe I was just in the right mood, but it was so funny.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, and I was like mildly interested. I like Andy Samberg, and I like that actress. But I was like, it's probably going to be one of those sort of throwaway Netflix things. But then I was reading about that it was actually like a surprisingly good movie, like just the other day. So it's funny you brought it up, but I definitely want to check that out. Yeah, I know. So it's like all about what we're watching these days. I
know, because what else are we going to do? Want me to tell you what my grocery delivery was, everybody?
Yeah.
I mean,
like
I feel
what
like
puzzle
what
I
watched
just did.
Is just mildly kidding, more interesting.
In while, but
I feel like you probably are watching quite a bit of stuff as well, Heather.
Oh boy, I'm pretty excited to talk about this particular subject today. So on New Year's Eve, we watched a lot of really good kind of holiday movies that were from like the 40s and 50s. The movie that I saw on New Year's Eve that I had never seen, that it's actually, you know, it's very classic and most people have seen it, I think, is The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley mm-hmm. MacLaine. And I've never seen Shirley MacLaine that young. I think you'd really like it, Sarah. It's a great...
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
super cute. I've never seen her in a movie where she's that young. She's so adorable. And Jack Lemmon is just like such a physical, like comedic actor. He's so great. And I'm kind of on an old movie kick. And I know I said an episode back or two, I said, I have a hard time because my boyfriend loves old movies and he's kind of, he'll throw one out there and I'm like, it's black and white. I don't know. It's from like the early 40s. I just feel like I'm going to fall asleep. Like it's not that I've not liked old movies in the past. I'm not against them, but I think I've created this thing in my mind that like this expectation that's wrong. And I think like, sure, there's good and bad movies of every decade, and there's bad old movies, there's bad good movies or new movies. And so I kind of like, it's like there's all these old expressions that we've created like a long time ago, like never say never, you know, some of those I'm just like, whatever, but it's so true. It's like, I've really been turned around on the old movies, because, you know, I'm all about the 60s and 70s. It's my favorite decades of movies, and the 80s to some extent. But 40s and 50s, man, it's a whole other world. And it's been really fun to dive in. And we've mostly been watching black and white and Technicolor in the last like couple weeks. We've kind of been on this kick. And boy, I'm like, it's been sort of like the best thing lately. It has been like such a good escapism for me. And I love the melodrama. A lot of the movies we've been watching have that really distinct melodrama. And I've just been thinking about melodrama. I kind of did some research on it. You know, like it started in theater, like in, you know, England, and just like, why was it popular? Because it's hokey, you know, and, but it's just evokes, it brings out your emotions and it's over the top. It's supposed to be. And that's why it became popular, is it makes you emotional. And it's also so funny. I mean, you laugh at it because it's so over the top, you know, like just the drama, and it's so good. And so I've been watching a lot of like Rock Hudson movies, which I just like, honestly, I've seen him in stuff, but I'm like, wow, like this is why people love Rock Hudson. It's like, it's just like, I'm diving into this world that is so interesting. Douglas Sirk is one of the directors of some of these great ones. I'd never heard his name before, and I know my directors somewhat and never heard his name. I'm totally fascinated by this guy. And I've been watching, you know, this last night we watched one of his movies called it's called Magnificent Obsession, and it's Rock Hudson and this one actress, I'm trying to remember her name. She's in another movie with him that's a love story. So it's both of them falling in love in these two different movies. I think the other movie was called All That Heaven Allows. And she's pretty, but she has this really weird haircut. It's like really short, and it looks like she kind of has like a partial wig or something, and it's kind of curly but short. And it's like, it's just not attractive. And I just don't get the Rock Hudson and her like chemistry dynamic. But anyway, what I wanted to get to is I've been kind of into this social film discovery network. Sarah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's fairly old. It launched in 2011. It's called Letterboxd. So it's like Letterboxd. And it's really cool. Elijah's really into it. He basically, it's a place where you can list all the movies you want to see, you know, to keep track of the movies you've seen, what you want to see. Maybe you can definitely rate them. You don't have to, but you can rate them. You can review them. You can put notes in there, which is great, because I've noticed as I've gotten older, I forget that I've seen stuff, or I forget that I didn't see stuff, or I'm like, I've never seen The Apartment, I don't think, you know? And then what would be cool is if you had started this in your 20s, and wrote, oh, I saw The Apartment, and this is, I didn't like it that much. I was young. I didn't really get it. But like, as you're older and you watch it again, you're like, oh, that this is like a totally different viewing experience for me. So this thing is really cool. I just started it like a couple weeks ago. My boyfriend has like decades of lists, which is kind of awesome. And I envy that a little bit, because now he can really track what he's seen and when he's seen it. It's sort of a way to chart your life in a way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like I was like going through this in my life, and like I really loved this movie. Like, do I really love it now?
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe not.
Exactly. It's very cool. And I thought you might get into it just to, you know, so you can start tracking what you watch. You can create your own playlist. Like, there's playlists on there. So maybe you're like, what are the best bar fights like in movies across time, or some element, you know, creepy vans? I don't know. Right. And there are some creepy vans out there. So like you could search that, and if someone has created a list, which they likely have, you can find a list of the movies with the best bar fights. You can rate, I said like, you can write notes. How many, you can also collectively, like my boyfriend the other day is like, I've seen 264 movies this year. And I'm like, how do you know that? Because Letterboxd told me. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, whoa, he watches a lot of movies because it's
his job.
It's
a fun stat. Yeah. Whether or not you watch that many movies or not.
Yeah. And I know how much you like stats and data and keeping track of these things.
Very much so. Yeah. I'm not much of a journaler. Some people are like, oh yeah, I journal every morning. And I'm like, you do? God, like all I want to do is just be quiet and not journal. But I do like things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what does it matter to anybody? Well, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just a neat thing to know about yourself.
It is cool.
Oh, I watched this many movies and like these were the movies that I like gave like 4 stars to or that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it just, it kind of can inform like where you were in that, like I'll look back and go, God, I remember when I was on that 40s and 50s kick. And it's kind of cool. Cause I honestly, like my memory's a little spotty where I'm like, God, I think I saw that, but I just really need a refresher. And then I remember little bits, like we watched The Fisher King. And I, you know, the Terry Gilliam movie with Robin Williams, that is a great holiday movie. It's such a good movie, such a feel good, wonderful movie. You should rewatch it if you can. Cause I saw it when I was a teenager. So I remember Robin Williams.
Yeah, I probably have seen it, but like, I don't remember anything about the movie.
It's so great. So that is a perfect opportunity to watch it again because it you know, won Oscar or it got nominated or whatever. I mean, I think Robin Williams obviously got nominated and like Jeff Bridges is so good. And I forgot he was even in it. So it's like such a great rewatch. Anyway, so Letterboxd, pretty cool. And again, if you are on it, you can add me. I think I'm just Heather Frank.
And that's Letterboxd without the final E.
Exactly.
Before the D, Letterboxd.
That's right.
Boxed with no E. You know, it's funny, talking about old movies, I watched a lot of old movies when I took film classes. Mm-hmm. Even like as far back as high school, because I was in like vocational classes where we would like, you know, it was like film theory kind of thing. I was lucky enough to be able to have that before I went to college. And then in college, I was in, you know, a creative arts college, and that was just all the electives. Like, we all took, like, music theory and film, you know, classic film. And there were, I watched a lot of old-ass movies. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I was like, I know this is a classic, but again, I was like, I don't know, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't always like them. Yeah, there were certain ones where I'm like, is this, like, really that good? I don't like this movie at all. It's, like, super boring. And then years later, not that many years later, but after college, I lived in this house with like 3 roommates. And one of the roommates, she wasn't really my favorite person for other reasons, but she just happened to be like obsessed with like Turner movie classics, like the channel on TV. Like all she wanted to watch was old movies. And she like worked in retail and sometimes was like kind of home all day if she wasn't working. And like starting like somewhat early in the morning, like right outside my bedroom, I'm like, here we go. Like we're watching On the Waterfront again kind of thing. She just, it was like something that she really liked and you wouldn't really think of her as a person who was an old movie fan.
Yeah.
She's just, it was just like a quirk of her personality and it bugged me sometimes, but I also thought it was really interesting. But the other day I was, well, I mean, I don't know, recently, not like yesterday or anything, but I was just like, again, like, I don't know, do I want to watch something? I don't know. And I've got this AT&T TV Now subscription, so I can get like just whatever's on the equivalent of cable. And sometimes I'm like, I just want you to give it to me. Like, I'll just watch what is being offered on Bravo right now or, you know, see what's on CNN or, you know, Animal Planet. And it was Mildred Pierce starring Joan Crawford.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about watching that last night, actually.
Oh, it's good.
Okay.
We'll and watch it. Yeah, like I just kind of hit it right at the beginning and I was like,
you finished it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's, I don't know if I've seen it before. I mean, I've certainly heard of it. You know, it's like 1945. You know, she got an Academy Award for it. I mean, it's, a, you know, it was really popular.
And there's
movie
the
at
remake
the time.
With Kate Winslet, or it was like a mini series on HBO or something.
See, I've only seen the original, but like, it's also Joan Crawford is, I mean, she's like the epitome of old Hollywood, you know, and just, you know, her face at the time, like she was really in her prime. And yeah, I finished it and I was like, that was so good. Even though like there are so many things about the, you know, the plot line and the way people have the, you know, what do they call it? Mid-Atlantic accent, you know, of the Hollywood stars and stuff where it's like, it is like kitschy.
Yeah.
But it's also sometimes really deep where you're like,
oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
This was a movie that was made a long time ago about some like pretty heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah. They that's another thing that I really appreciate about watching these movies is it's like there's these morals of the story that are so fundamental to like human life and they're so philosophical and like, you know, about the human condition and existentialism and like class and, you know, societal place, your place in society. That's a lot of like that Douglas Sirk stuff. He focuses on that a lot. But yeah, it is. I'm so glad I've delved into this and that I've sort of changed my mind about old movies. I'm sure a lot of you will agree. I bet that we've got a lot of patrons out there who love old movies. So let us know. Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com. I want to know what your favorite classics are. I did rewatch Casablanca this weekend, which I don't really remember that movie because I saw it so long ago. I only remember that the classic shot of them with the plane and they're kissing. And I was, you know, it's like, that's what I remember. And I remember a little bit of like, you know, the style of the city and stuff like that. But that was a good rewatch.
Yeah, I think that was like, my parents always like agreed, like, that's the best movie ever. Mm-hmm. You know, again, they're from a different era. But also, yeah, like when you watch that movie, you're like, oh, it's like really sad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes down. I mean, yeah. Gone with the Wind, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like that movie's like, it's like, Jesus. Like, this is like a very downer of a movie for like so many reasons. But, you know, again, well, Gone with the Wind is problematic in lots of other ways. Mm-hmm. But we'll leave it at that. Yes. We want to hear your old movie recommendations. hi@havesuchagoodday.com is where to email us. We also want to thank our patrons. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where you can learn more about being a patron if you're not already. We really appreciate it. That's where you can get ad-free versions of our show. Of course, you can always get the show free on a podcatcher of your choice. But we really love the fact that we've got more patrons than ever. And we'd like to grow our little team more and more. And we've got some fun perks for those of you who do join us at various levels, including our Discord, where we chat about all sorts
of
stuff.
The conversation continues on Discord. Essentially, like Sarah and I can just continue to talk and talk and talk and talk and yak. And we continue to talk, like this morning, we were just talking to Buchanan about old movies and theater
and
our
cats
tickling our toes and, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, all kinds of things go on in there.
How
so
we're
it's
all
going to
get through life. Yeah. So if you haven't perused yet, please do. And thank you in advance. We also have a few new patrons, don't we, Heather?
Oh, we sure do. Stephen Molinax. I know that
Hey,
name. Doug Kleeman. Kleeman?
Yeah. Kleeman? Doug, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, let us know if we're probably hacking your name. Sorry about that. Jerry Brace.
What up, Jerry? Good to have you all with us. And we've got 95 patrons now. It's more patrons than we've ever had.
I know,
and,
it's very exciting.
We'd love to have 9 million, but you know what? We're gonna just build slowly.
Or even 900.
And surely. No, I know, 900 sounds like so many.
I know.
Also,
well, we're so excited to have you all. It's such a big crew. We want it to be way bigger. So tell your friends, tell your aunt, tell your grandma, tell anybody that you think might enjoy it. Have such
a good
day. The
guy in the creepy van down the street.
Yeah,
like
the
creepy.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
We would totally welcome creepy van people. So please let them know. So we got a really cute email from that Charlie dude. Regarding
that Charlie dude.
Wonder Woman 84, WW84. He said, it's bad! Exclamation point. And Sarah was talking about it last week.
Yeah, this is kind of in response to me being like, did not like.
Yeah, so bad, he said. Our family watched it on New Year's Eve as part of our New Year's Eve party. And while we enjoyed it, it was still bad. The plot didn't make sense. We had to rewind it a couple of times to catch stuff. And the special effects were sloppy as well. It was like we were watching a low budget TV show. He does mention some of his favorite parts, which I'm going to not repeat so that I won't spoil anything. But he also did comment on the pet dolls that that I got about for my cats. He says, also the pet dolls.
Holiday present.
The holiday present. They're great. Yeah. I didn't know artists were still making them. We have a couple in honor of our lost boxers. They're nice little keepsakes. And Charlie, I would really like it if you could send me a picture of yours, of your lost boxers. That would be great.
Especially because they're boxers. Otis is only 50% boxer, but I consider boxer friends my kin at this point. I'm very into boxer world. So yes, that Charlie dude, you have to send us a photo.
Yes.
Please do it. Please do it. And yes, I agree with you about Wonder Woman. It's funny. My TV, I'm really due for a new TV, but hey, you know, times are tough right now. But I can't, my TV is not 4K capable. Mm-hmm. So there is only so much, you know, that I can get. And I don't really know any better because I have the TV I've had for like, I don't know, the last like at least 10 years, maybe more. And a friend of mine said the same thing as you. He was like, the special effects were so bad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that. I was just like, the plot doesn't make sense. But I would love to see it on something that's supposed to like showcase special effects and see how cartoonish it actually was.
Yeah, I just, I don't even want to see it because I already kind of knew it was going to be bad. I liked the first one. It was fine, but I just have to see. It's kind of like that movie Cats. It's like you want to see the how bad it is. I don't think it's going to be as bad as Cats. No, definitely not.
I think Cats is like on another level.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen it, but
like, what are the bad movie awards called? They're called like the doozies
or Razzies.
Oh, the Razzies. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't even know if they're doing those.
That's more Razzie territory, Cats.
Yeah. I think it probably takes.
I think it got it.
All of the awards.
Year. Yeah.
but yeah, I don't know. Wonder Woman. It's not like, I mean, I wasn't like mad that I watched it. I was just like, well, that didn't make a lot
of
sense.
You're like, God damn it, stomping your feet.
No. And in fact, I think that on a rewatch, not that I'm really planning on rewatching it, but I think if I knew going in, okay, this is going to be all over the place, it might be more entertaining because like, I like Gal Gadot. I like, I like sort of like, if it's going to be camp, like I like that campiness.
Sure.
It's not that campy though. That's the problem is like, they didn't think they were being campy. They just were. Anyway, I will, I'll get off my soapbox on this one, but yes, that Charlie dude, I'm happy to hear that I wasn't alone.
I like that name, that Charlie dude. It's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love you guys.
Cat is named Charlie.
Yes. My cat is named
Charlie. It's not your cat writing in, or is it?
Oh, it might be. I sometimes
can you imagine Charlie just
dude.
Being like, that
would
tape,
be,
tape, tape.
Oh, I wouldn't even be surprised. I totally anthropomorphize my animals. Charlie is very smart. In fact, he's high intelligence above my other cat and my dog, Frank and Ziggy. You know, Ziggy isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but Charlie is really smart. I mean, he's like a little person wrapped in a little cat body. He's very special. Anyway, on that note, you guys are very special and
yes,
we love
you.
And we, I really feel better after doing the show. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a patron and we couldn't do it without you. So until next week, I will remain Heather.
And I will remain Sarah. Stay dry, stay safe, stay warm, everybody. And have such a good day.
We implore you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.